Every problem carries a gift for me in its hands. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Today's statement, every problem carries a gift for me in its hand, it came from a number of generations down the line. And I don't know where Richard Bach got it, but he used it in Jonathan Livingston Seagull and Illusions. And many people have used it since then. And we had a guest, one of our advanced students, Edith Mary Sanderson, here. And she wrote down a number of statements that we could use for, you know, lead thoughts on our thought for today. And this was one of them. And so it's a very good one. Every problem carries a gift for me in its hands. What do you call a problem? How do you define a problem? You define a problem as something seeking a solution. A problem is something seeking a solution. If you have the solution, you don't have the problem. The problem is an incomplete circumstance, something seeking to be complete, something seeking to be fulfilled. Now, if I'm putting the bottle cap back on the bottle and it just doesn't want to turn properly, just doesn't want to fit properly, and you come over and you say, oh, let me try that. It didn't work for me a couple times, and then I got it to work too. So let me see, maybe my magic works. And you spin the cap on, and the bottle cap goes on tight as a whistle. Beautiful. And how'd you do that? What did you do? You see, I am inquisitive about the solution and not the problem. How did you not get that onto the bottle? How did you not get the cap on the bottle? You see, that's not really the question. But how did you get the cap on the bottle? Well, you see, what you were doing, the cap has to be tilted just a little bit so that it starts to roll down the turns there. And if you have a square, it won't roll down the turn because you're bumping it over. But you got to just twist it just a little bit, just a hair, and then it'll roll right on. And lo and behold, they were right. That's how it did work. But I, being true and straight and level and all that sort of stuff all the time, couldn't put it on because it needed to be a little tilted. Now, you see, when they make these bottle caps, the bottle caps themselves are flat on top and flat across the bottom, but usually they have a little mesh thing on the bottom that fastens it to the bottle so that it'll say the bottle has not been opened before you did it. You got it. And so that little gadget is laying down there and rolling around the bottom, and you're breaking it off. And in the process of breaking it off, you are changing the exact location of where the screw-on portion of the bottle cap comes and the bottle cap comes. So, you see, you have to be very careful when you're dealing with problems, because problems have solutions that are so easy to them sometimes and so terrible to them other times. You all know about the golfers, the old-time golfers. Before golf was quite a popular sport. It was popular, but not as popular as today. But in those days, you didn't always have someone to teach you how to play. You went out and sort of learned by yourself and read the book on it and maybe had your best buddy who was fairly good at it tell you his techniques. And there were times when you would be swinging at your ball, and every swing counts. Every stroke you take with that club counts, and you've got to add it on your list. That's why you have a scorecard. And if you don't keep track of your swings, then you're being dishonest. Well, here this man is trying to, you know, put the ball on the green, and he's got his 3-iron, 5-iron to move it on there, maybe even the scoop, and he wants to drop it right on there. And he is so proper and so perfect, he thinks, God, am I good, you know? And he swings at the ball, and the ball is untouched. for some reason or other, he missed it. He missed the ball, you know. I mean, he doesn't do things like that. Well, once is okay. So he takes the same club, and this time he repositions himself, and this time he looks right at the ball, and he's ready to hit it. But just as he's ready to hit the ball, he hears a noise over his shoulder, and he turns his head, and he misses the ball again. I mean, his frustration level is growing by the second. He should be out golfing for relaxation and peace, but he's making a problem out of it. And so now the third strike, the third effort is coming to put that ball right on the green. And with, I'm relaxed, I'm peace, I'm relaxed, I'm peace. So he takes his bashi, he cuffs the ball, and the ball goes up into a high arc and down 10 feet from him, not to the green whatsoever. And he thinks to himself, this is not my day. And so he takes the ball and he treats it like a baseball bat, and he takes the club and he clubs the ball so it'll go onto the green. And it rolls to the other side of the green, because the green was only a few feet away, you know. And then to make a putt, he made a bunch of other strokes in making the putt. Now, his friend was watching from a distance. He had already played in. And his friend said, you know, John, you don't have to do that. You're making a mountain out of a molehill. And you don't need to do that. Yeah, you can tell me that. But John, I've been studying at the University of Healing recently, and we've been talking about peace and peace and peace. Well, that doesn't sound very interesting, but we've been talking about peace and how when we put ourselves peaceful in any effort, we can do it beautifully. Now, John, there's nobody playing behind us. We're the end of the game for today. It's getting twilight now. Nobody's going to start out. There's nobody rushing us. So, John, will you do me a favor? Okay, let's just sit down and, in fact, even lay down in the grass and say, I am peace. And just look up at the sky. It's a clear sky. It's a beautiful, clear evening, lovely and warm. Just say, I am peace. I am peace. What good is that? Well, John, if you say, I am peace, you are taking mastership of your problem with every word you say, I am peace. I am peace. And with every word, you're saying, I am master of the game of golf. I am master of my clubs. I'm master of the ball. He said, but I keep changing the ball, so I can't say the ball. But you're a master of the concept ball that you're playing with. And you're the master. All right. Yeah. Heaves a big sigh. Now, we're going to take a few minutes to do this, and don't rush, you know. So they lay there, and I am peace. I am peace. I am peace. John and his friends say, I am peace. And they do this for about 10 minutes. And John is peace. He is really soaked in peace. He is completely relaxed. And then his friend says, okay, John, now, I want you to stand over here and just pretend we're at the tee off. And you can put your ball onto a tee. Now, John, don't worry about it. You're going to take this ball and you're going to send it right off in that direction. But that's the rough. That's the woods. We're not going to look for the ball. You're just going to send it there. All right. It's against my best judgment. Can I use a bad ball? No, John, use a good ball. Use a fresh new ball. So he puts it on the tee and then he says, it's against my judgment. John, you take your driver and you drive that ball into the next county. You drive that ball in a smooth, romantic, joyous swing where your ball and the club connect at the proper point and the ball rises and soars over the woods, never even touching a tree. And it's going to be perfect, John, because it already is perfect. So John stands there. All right. Big sigh, you know, relax, peace. And then he takes the club and he says, okay, club, kiss that ball and send it to heaven, you know. And so he struck the ball with a smooth, welcome swing that just connected with the ball in a perfect click, and the ball went sailing over the trees exactly where he wanted to put it. And so his friend says, John, that was very good. John, do it again. You want me to waste it? John, take a new ball and do it again. Oh, see, that's my judgment. John, do it. So John takes a new ball. The sky is beginning to get red with the sunset, and it is just a brilliant fireball. John, aim your ball at the setting sun and see your ball going right into the middle of the sun. Now, John, you're going to use your driver again, and you're going to make a drive that's going to be the most spectacular drive in all the world, and nobody's going to know about it except you and me. But nobody's going to. Now, John, kiss that ball and send it to the sun. So John stands there in a relaxed pose, thinking, I'm wasting another good ball. And he takes his club and he hits the ball, and the ball goes right through the sun, right into the middle of the sun from his perspective. Beautiful. And then his friend says, John, come here. Your ball is on the opposite side of the green. I want you to make a hole in one putt. And John says, I've never done that in my life. John, this is a new you now. And John, use a new ball. Take it and replace your other ball with a new ball. Well, why the new ball? Just do it. So John takes the new ball. He stands in position. He looks at the lay of the green, and he sees that it's a perfectly normal lay, no special little problems there. And he puts the ball with just the exact amount of pressure necessary to roll it into the cup from all the way across the green. And he says, wow, let's play golf. It's getting late, though, you know. Now, one more thing, John. I want you to come with me to hell. It's right on the edge of the hill here. So they walk over the edge of the hill, and there's a sand pit. The sand pit is always a devilish thing for people because they make it so. And so his friend says, John, take another new ball and take your club, which any club you want. They'll all work fine. You could use a 2-iron or you could use a 5-iron all the way through the whole course, and you could play the game perfectly. Now, John, you drop your ball in the middle of the sandpit. In the middle? But there's a rise above it. There's this here. John, just do it. Okay, now, John, you go and stand in the position of your ball to the cup on the green. And I want you to see yourself making a hole with one putt. Not one putt, but I mean with one club movement. You're going to take your club and you're going to bring it right into it. But I've never done that in my life. John, today is a day of special things happening. And so John, I am peace. And he takes his club and he scoops that ball so that hardly a grain of sand goes with it, but the ball rises in a lovely arc. And in one arc, it drops into the hole, not rolling, not doing anything, just an arc from the sand pit to the hole. And he says, wow, nobody would believe me if I told him about this. John, this is for you. Now, John, Do you want to play every game like this? Then you take the problem and you set it aside. The problem is that you're not a very good golfer. And you put in its place that you are an exquisite golfer. That you are a relaxed and a peaceful golfer. And that every time you move your golf club, the ball goes exactly where you want it to go. And you don't want to always get a hole in one from the tee. That does take the fun away from the game. You want to make the ball go where you want it to go. You say, I want to put the ball out 200 yards. I want to put the ball out 300 yards, which is pretty good. And I want to put the ball in a dog leg. I want the ball to go to the dog leg and then turn left. Or a slice. I want it to go to the slice area and turn right. Because the runway, the fairway changes at that point. And you see, you can do it. Because now you and the ball are friends. You and your clubs are friends. Those clubs that you were so angry at and threw into the pond, they can stay there. Because now you're new. You're special. John, you have made a friend of your problem, and your problem no longer is a problem. It is a wonderful, fabulous solution. And every day you go out and you prove to yourself that you are the solution in everything you do. Every problem carries a gift for me in its hands. What's going to happen to John? He's going to become a better lover with his wife. Ooh. He's going to become a better husband to his wife. He's going to become a better father to his children. He's going to become a better employee or employer, depending upon his position. He's going to become a marvelous golfer. He's going to become a golfer that everyone says, John's good. They don't worship him or idolize him or anything, but John's good. You know, he plays a good game of golf. He doesn't beat everybody, but he plays a good game of golf, you know. He shoots par, which is very good. But under par is what you have to do to win these days. But John is good. Now, you too can make friends with what you call your problems and have your problems be solutions. Have your problem be no longer a problem, but a fulfillment of whatever dream is in your heart. And if that dream is golf, how did John do it? By being peace. How can you do any problem in your life? By being peace. Do you care? If you care, be peace. Because that's exciting stuff. So, my dear beloved friends, just remember, every problem carries a gift for me in its hands. And I'm very grateful for that. And I appreciate that. And I say thank you to the divine within me for wising me up to that fact. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Love you.